Batman, Spider-Man, Superman, Wolverine. The comedian Jerry Seinfeld once said that when you're a kid, these aren't fantasies, these are options. But to comic book aficionados like me, they're still options. Welcome to Pods of Speech, a weekly internet radio show. I'm your producer and editor, Dan McLaughlin. This week we'll be taking a look at comic books with the help of a few friends. So join me as we look at comic books and talk to the people that read them. Hey, who's your favorite superhero?
Spider-Man
does whatever a spider can.
Who's your favorite superhero?
Superman.
Spider-Man over here?
Spider-Man.
And?
Superman.
What do you like best about Spider-Man?
He can shoot webs and he defeats Venom.
Why do you like Superman so much?
He can fly.
Do you guys wish you were superheroes?
Yeah.
Comic book is a magazine made up of narrative artwork, often accompanied by dialogue, usually in word balloons, emblematic of the comic book art form. The first comic book appeared in the United States of America in 1934, reprinting the earlier newspaper comic strips, which established many of the storytelling devices used in comics. The term comic book arose because the first comic books reprinted humor comic strips, but despite their name, comic books do not necessarily operate in humorous mode. Most modern comic books tell stories in a variety of genres. Since the introduction of the comic book format in 1934 with the publication of Famous Funnies, the United States has produced the most titles, with only the British comic and Japanese manga as close competitors in terms of quantity of titles. The comic book industry in the U.S. markets the majority of its output to young adult readers, though it also produces titles for young children, as well as catering to adult audiences. Cultural historians divide the career of the comic book in the U.S. into several ages or historical eras: the proto-comic books and the Platinum Age, the Golden Age, the Silver Age, the Bronze Age, and the Modern Age. Comic book historians continue to debate the exact boundaries of these eras, the terms of which originated in the fandom press. Comic books as a print medium have existed in America since the printing of The Adventures of Obadiah Oldbuck in 1842 in hardcover, making it not only the first known American comic book, but the first American graphic novel as well. The introduction of Jerry Siegel and Joel Shuster's Superman in 1938 turned comic books into a major industry, and is often presented as the start of the golden age of comics. Historians have proposed several names for the age before Superman, most commonly dubbing it the Platinum Age. While the Platinum Age saw the first use of the term comic book, the first known full-color comic, and the first monthly comic book, it was not until the Golden Age that the archetype of the superhero would originate. The Silver Age of comic books is generally considered to date from the first successful revival of the dormant superhero form, the debut of Robert Kaniger and Carmine Infantino's Flash in Showcase No. 4. The Silver Age lasted through the early 1970s, during which time Marvel Comics revolutionized the medium with such naturalistic superheroes as Stan Lee and Jack Kirby's Fantastic Four, and Stan Lee and Steve Ditko's Spider-Man. The precise beginnings of the Bronze and Modern Ages remain less well-defined. Suggested starting points for the Bronze Age of comics include Roy Thomas and Barry Windsor Smith's Conan No. 1 in October 1970, and Denny O'Neill and Neil Adams' Green Lantern Green Arrow No. 76 in April 1970, or Stan Lee and Gil Kane's Amazing Spider-Man No. 96 in May of 1971. The start of the Modern Age, occasionally referred to as the Iron Age, has even more potential starting points, but is generally agreed to be the publication of Frank Miller's Batman, The Dark Knight Returns graphic novel, and Alan Moore's Watchmen by DC Comics in 1986, as well as the publication of DC's Crisis on Infinite Earths, with Marv Wolfman as writer and George Perez on the pencils. To learn more about this uniquely American medium, I decided to speak with some collectors and experts.
Hi, my name is Anthony Casaldi, and I work at Comics and More in the Plymouth Meeting Mall.
I asked Anthony how long he'd been reading comic books.
Oh, God. Say this is going to betray my age. At least 25 years.
25 years? Yeah. What were some of the titles that you read when you were growing up?
When I was a real little kid, it was like Amazing Spider-Man and Flash and, you know, a lot of the superhero-y stuff. And as I got older, people got me turned on to, like, some of the more adult-in-theme sort of comics.
I pose the big question to Anthony. Marvel or DC?
When I grew up, I was a Marvel guy, and anymore I'm a DC fan, so...
Is that right?
I've jumped ship, yes.
What made you switch?
Marvel storylines got a little too dark and dull for me, where it's all real-world politics kind of stuff mixed in with your superheroes, and I want superheroes beating the crap out of each other, when it comes to Marvel DC stuff, at least.
Right. Yeah, I know the last thing I read was the Marvel Civil War thing.
Yeah, which...
And that got a little geopolitical.
Yeah, it had a lot of political themes, and it was cool. I appreciated those political themes, but since that was such a big success for them, they've kind of hammered that in a lot.
Exactly.
And I'm at the point now, that was 2006, 2007, now I'm at the point where I'm like, can I just have guys in spandex punch each other to solve problems? I want superheroes beating the crap out of each other. Comics.
I asked Anthony about which comics he's reading now.
I just finally finished Unwritten, which is an excellent title. It's kind of got like all these weird Harry Potter themes along with other literary themes. That's kind of a mature reader's book. For my superhero stuff, I still read Green Lantern. I read Flash. I'm big on Incredible Hercules. We're actually having the writer and artist team in here for a signing, which I'm really excited for. And then I read a lot of like smaller, a lot of crime stuff like Scalped, and I'll always, till I die, or as long as it's published, read Usagi Yojimbo, which
Usagi Yojimbo.
Most people know from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but
right.
It's actually a really, really smartly done comic book. So
you heard it here, folks.
There
Usagi
you go.
Usagi Yojimbo.
Yeah.
I finally asked Anthony the question. Why comic books?
Way back when I was a kid, and probably up until I was in college, which was, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, I liked the idea that it was basically movies without a budget. You could do whatever you wanted and present it on a printed page, no matter how fantastical the idea. You know, a really gifted writer like Grant Morrison could come in with these weird, crazy concepts and make them work because it was all presented in a very straight-up manner. I mean, now you see stuff like Avatar, and you can see where movies are finally catching up to comic books. You know, they're finally getting to the point where special effects and everything can match what a comic book can produce. But I'm talking about one of the few American literary mediums that is dominantly American. I mean, Europeans have latched onto it, but it's an American tradition. And it's just, it's very imaginative, and it allows people to do things that don't have to reach a mass market to be successful. They can still stay as a niche publication, but also still get their work out there. They don't have to meet... I saw some TV show, I know Human Target, which is based sort of on a comic book,
right.
Is probably going to be canceled. Its season finale, or whatever series finale I guess now, had like 7 million viewers estimated. There's not one comic book, there probably aren't 10 comic books you can combine to reach 7 million readers. So you can, you know, have a following of 5,000 people and continue to put your product out there.
Right.
You know,
like, it's not like the Hollywood industry where it's like, unless we break this on Fox,
right,
we'll
right.
Now, sink some studio, you know.
Marvel and DC are leaning that way more and more, especially with being tied to larger corporations. But for the most part, you can still say small press.
And is that a fact that runs across the board with comic books, that if you have, even with a small following, these, you know, artists and writers can still manage to make a living at it?
For the most part, one of my favorite series that came out basically throughout the 2000s was a series called Phonogram. It's the idea of the magic found in music and these sort of people who understand that concept and are able to use it and manipulate it. It's really, really brilliant.
Phonogram.
Yeah, it's a brilliant series. But the sad part about it is an interview I read with the writer said it was initially supposed to be a 3-part story.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't make enough money to get to the 3rd part. And these guys now write for Marvel and DC. They do art for Marvel and DC. Not going to be able to do that third part of the story. No matter how much I promoted it here in store and tried to go crazy with it, just didn't catch on. So there are casualties to
Absolutely.
Lack of readership.
There's casualties to being a niche market. Like
right,
this.
Exactly. Yeah, not every niche publication can sustain itself, but most of them can, I think.
Yeah,
it's the way we've been transmitting, you know, stories since the Egyptian days of hieroglyphics. It's the same concept. And,
right.
And so, you know, the idea that it can't be done is impossible in comics. Whereas movies and especially TV, there is the idea that, how exactly do we present that?
Right. You need a $50 billion spaceship? Well, that's no problem. Just
right.
Draw it.
Just draw it. There we go. It's as detailed. I can be as detailed as someone like Jeff Darrow or as loose with my pencils as, you know.
Jeff Darrow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeff Darrow. I mean, I think everybody here as a copy of Hard Boiled.
Oh, yeah.
Shelf,
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do you yourself draw any comic books?
No. The most I've ever done is I've tried to hammer out a few scripts from a writing perspective, mm-hmm. but even that is difficult. I mean, it is an art form, and it's very difficult to just kind of come into it cold. So without any sort of formal training, I've never really tried it beyond just, you know, poking around here and there, seeing how the process works.
Right. Now, in terms of comic book composition and writing, do you find, like, with your own personal predilections for comics, that a single author that writes everything and draws everything, or do you think that the better products come from the marriage between a writer and an artist?
That depends. When you find that unique sort of special moment where both the writer and the artist are on the same page with each other,
mm-hmm.
I think that trumps the writer-artist unified vision, because the writer can present his script, then the artist can take that and interpret it, and then between the two of them, they can kind of, you know, create something even greater when both of them are on the same page. When you do have a single writer-artist, there are obvious benefits to that, where it's that unified vision of just one man or one woman. Someone like Jonathan Hickman, he does a lot of Marvel work right now. For that, he's only been writing, and it's been outstanding, some of the best stuff Marvel publishes. However, for Image Comics, he does a lot of independent published stuff where he's both writer and artist, and he has just this unique vision of the way he uses text and color and his page layouts. It's really amazing stuff. So in that instance, you know, you kind of prefer to see Jonathan Hickman or people like that doing their thing on their own.
I then asked about which comics sell the most at Comics and More.
We just wrapped up, well, we did not wrap up anything. DC Comics just wrapped up a series called Blackest Night, which was a big, huge, universe-wide crossover that spun out of Green Lantern, who has suddenly become like their almost flagship hero after for years trying to just hammer Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman at us. He's got a movie coming out next year starring Ryan Reynolds, so it's part of their big push, and it was a fantastic series. It was a lot of fun. It was just... it was one of those series I tried to explain to people. It basically solved comic book problems with comic book logic, where it didn't really have to make sense in the real world. You didn't have to worry about, you know, what nation was mad at which nation or whatever. It was just like, this works because, well, we said it works. And it was fun. We sold a ton of that. We continue to sell a ton of Avengers, which Iron Man 2 comes out this year, and there's a lot of build-up to an Avengers movie sometime in 2012, I believe. X-Men is a consistent seller. Spider-Man's a consistent seller. Basically, if you've seen a movie of it, or if it's rumored to be a movie, it probably sells really well for us.
I then asked Anthony what he thinks about all of the comic book films we've seen in recent years.
You can see probably since Spider-Man back in, what was that, 2001, 2002, there's been more of a push or an understanding by Hollywood that if you stay true to the source material, it ends up working out better because these stories are already written, they're already storyboarded with the page layouts and everything. So I think when that happens, when they stay truer to the source material, it works out for the better. Sin City is a perfect example of that. There's a movie that probably no one knew anything about prior to the movie coming out. It was basically done panel for panel from the comic book, and it worked perfectly. 300's another one that's like that. And you can see a movie like Dark Knight, where it was done in a very intelligent manner, stayed true to the source material, but also presented it in kind of a new and exciting way, did phenomenal box office numbers, and is absolutely my favorite movie. I don't even have to put the word comic book in front of there.
Right. I think at one point Robert Rodriguez said, I'm not interested in making Robert Rodriguez Sin City. I'm interested in making Frank Miller Sin City.
Exactly. And that's one of those complaints that, you know, we fanboys, as derogatory as that term often comes to be, always had. It was a major complaint. It was you buy a property and then you just go and you turn it into generic action film number 27. Why? You know, if you're going to buy Spider-Man, make Spider-Man. If you want to make a movie where there's a guy that can kind of sort of do what Spider-Man does, come up with your own intellectual property, you know.
And you're saying the IP in terms of Spider-Man, that's kind of what Sony did with Spider-Man.
Right. X-Men was probably the first where they stayed as true as possible, but they still kind of put their own spin on it. Spider-Man had less of a spin. You had a director in Sam Raimi who very much loved the source material, grew up with it as a kid, and stayed true to that Silver Age-y 60s, 70s version of Spider-Man.
I then asked Anthony for his list of top five favorite comic books.
I would go with Scott Pilgrim Volume 1. Definitely worth checking out. Let me think, what else would I want to get with? Flash, anything from the Mark Waid run, most especially Terminal Velocity. Watchmen, of course, because you can reread Watchmen hundreds of times and always find something new and exciting in it. V for Vendetta, because that completely changed a lot of my political ideas, at least when I was 13 and read it without my mom knowing, of course. And let's see, a fifth one. I'll throw in just a random volume of Usagi. I'll throw in Usagi Yojimbo Volume 12 Grass Cutter, which was probably the best
Usagi
one.
Usagi Yojimbo Volume 12 Grass Cutter.
Yes, there you go.
I asked Anthony if the graphic novel Watchmen led to comics being accepted as legitimate literature.
That took years. I mean, when Watchmen first came out, it was definitely recognized by the people who read it as being so far and above anything that had ever come out in comics form at that point, you know, up to that point, and really since. The unfortunate part with Watchmen was the comics industry itself latched onto the wrong ideas. Instead of viewing Watchmen for its sort of postmodern take on superheroes, it instead latched onto the fact that it was so violent and bloody and every character was dark and psychologically scarred that became a trend in comics called grim and gritty, which lasted all the way up until the comics industry almost went bankrupt in the late 90s. Punisher was a prime example of that. That character had four ongoing titles plus miniseries plus guest appearances in every comic across the Marvel Universe. And it's because they presented him in this grim sort of way where it's just this man with this mission and a gun and he killed everything that moved. And it kind of took the fun out of comics. But Watchmen definitely was a line in the sand. And It's unfortunately a line no one has ever been able to approach again, mostly because there's probably a lack of talent, but there is a good number of writers out there who probably could do something like Alan Moore has done, and either there's no funding for it, there's no desire for it, or there's just no challenge to do it. But there was definitely, that was a line of demarcation. I mean, that was the point where you go, comics have officially grown up. You know, and you're right, it is now finally being recognized, probably in the past 8 to 10 years, it's in college classes as a required work.
I'll say people started jumping on the bandwagon, so to speak.
Sure, sure, yeah. And I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
One point that I always make is the people that grew up, that were my age and older, you know, who in 1985 when Watchmen, in 86 when Watchmen came out and were maybe 14, 15, or somewhere around there, and they grew up reading it and enjoyed it, now they're running Hollywood and they're running major, you know, media corporations, so they bring a love for this sort of work to their job every day, which is why I think you're seeing comics get more accepted.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
If you have any sort of interest, no matter what the genre, there's a comic book for it. Crime, westerns, superheroes, romance, all that stuff. It's out there, and it's definitely worth looking into.
Anthony works at Comics and More, which you can find on the web or on the second floor of the Plymouth Meeting Mall.
Hi, my name is Eric Loyak. I'm the manager of Brave New Worlds in Willow Grove, Pennsylvania. I've worked here for about 16 years, and of course I love comic books. We have a second store down on 2nd Street across from the Arden in Old City, and yeah, we're happy to be here and love comic books.
Love comic books.
I asked Eric about when he first started reading comic books.
The Transformers cartoon was the thing that got us started. We used to watch it on TV when we were younger, of course, and we went to the newsstand and number 5 was out, and we couldn't figure out how to get issues 1 through 4, and someone said, well, you got to go to a comic book store. We said, oh, where's the comic book store? We figured it out. We rode our bicycles down there and bought 1 through 4, and, you know, a comics fan was born.
A comics fan was born.
Before that, there was a closer newsstand to us that just carried random things, so we would pick up like a Firestorm or a Batman or a Spider-Man, because we were pretty much limited by whatever was in your neighborhood at that time at the local newsstand, you know, where you'd go to buy your penny candy or your bubble gum, that kind of thing.
I asked Eric the big question, Marvel or DC?
Definitely Marvel when we were younger, yeah. Although there was this strange rivalry between my brother and I where he liked Spider-Man a lot and I liked Batman, so that was kind of funny, you know, because Batman was the one DC character that we really got and liked.
Mm-hmm. He seems to be, especially in recent years, the most popular DC character.
I think it's because he's the normal guy and everyone thinks, oh, I can be Batman, you know, if I try hard enough. He doesn't have any superpowers or anything.
I asked Eric, what is it about comic books that we like so much?
I think it's the combination of the story, the way that the prose itself, well, versus just a prose book, it's the way that you can have dialogue, but you can have artwork and both progress the story, which is a unique thing versus just reading a comic, or like a, versus reading a book, I should say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now, what labels are you reading right now?
My favorite at the moment is Walking Dead, which is from Image Comics, which has actually been optioned to be a TV show on AMC in October, which is pretty cool. It's like a survival story. It's apocalypse. Everyone who dies turns into zombies, whether you get bit by a zombie or not. So it's about these people that are left and society crumbling and how they treat each other after. There's no rules left, basically.
The post-apocalyptic nightmare.
Yeah. I'm a big horror movie fan, so, you know, that's a lot of my comics. I enjoy that way, too. Not that I don't like the superheroes, but that's my favorite at the moment.
Would you say that you're more into the sort of mature graphic novel medium or... Would you say that you were into the superhero genre still?
I love them both, but I think as far as interest goes, I'm more a fan of like the more of the Vertigo type line, which would be like I guess would target like college age and up. You know, a little more mature than like your average superhero book. Not that the superhero books aren't for everyone to read.
You know? Absolutely. Now, have you yourself dabbled in any kind of writing or artist work? Have you tried writing comics?
No, not really my thing. I enjoy reading them, and I leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. One of Eric's co-workers was standing behind him, and we thought he had something to add to the conversation.
Oh, no. Okay.
You want to chime in? Yeah.
Now, do you have a particular era of comic books that you prefer, like the Silver Age or the Modern Age, the Iron Age, as it's sometimes called?
Honestly, the comics today, I think, are better than they've ever been. I mean, I think the writing is better, the art is better, of course. I just better developed, you know. I mean, I love what's out now, you know. I mean, I have nostalgia, of course, for the earlier ones.
A comics fan was born. Love comic books.
I asked Eric who his favorite writers are.
I mean, Hickman does some great stuff, of course. Garth Ennis or Warren Ellis are, you know, pretty much if I see a book that they're writing, I'm going to pick it up and read it. All right, we'll see then. And Robert Kirkman is the guy who writes Walking Dead, and he writes Invincible, which is also a really good superhero book.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
So, yeah, I would say they're probably three of my favorite.
Cool.
Okay, I mean, you have to mention Bendis, of course, Brian Bendis from Marvel. Absolutely. I mean, you can't really read Marvel without enjoying something that Bendis does, I think.
Absolutely. So, just comic books in general, I mean, would you say that this is a medium that anybody could look into, anybody could pick up a book? Like, is there something for everybody with comic books?
Definitely. There are comics they make for younger readers that are marketing, like the kids who are watching Superhero Squad on the television. It seems like a lot of the kids get into it either from cartoons or from parents that are already interested in it, and they say, oh, what is my dad doing? Let me check that out. And then they go to the comic store with them, which is cool. But, I mean, there's books written on all age levels. There's mature stories if you want them. There's young kids stories if you want them. You know, anything in the middle will run the gambit pretty much.
I asked Eric what he thought the turning point was for comics, when they started to be considered legitimate literature.
I still think, and I think other people would agree, Dark Knight Returns from Frank Miller, because before that everyone thought Batman was the Batman from the TV show, you know, running around with bombs in his hand or, you know, answering the little red phone. You're not that he didn't answer the red phone, of course.
Right.
But that, I think that was the first time. I would say there, or, I mean, like in that 80s era, it would be him or it would be Alan Moore for Watchmen.
Yeah.
You know, because that was the point where people were like, wow, you can really do more with this medium than what's being done.
Absolutely, yeah. Especially with something like Watchmen, I mean, I think it's on the Hugo 100 best, Times 100 best novels of the 20th century, so it's pretty interesting.
I asked Eric what he thought about the comic book films that we've seen in recent years.
I really enjoy them. I would say most of the comic book movies are really well done, and I will go see them. You know, if not in the movies, then on the DVD, I'll check them out afterwards, you know. But I think it's just great because a comic book is a natural storyboard for a movie anyway.
Right.
So it makes a lot of sense that you would transfer this story from the comic format to the movie.
Yeah, right.
Everyone puts their little Hollywood spin on it, you know, so that the story is never exactly the same as the book, mm-hmm. unless you are Frank Miller and you do Sin City right from the book, you know. But
right.
The fans are definitely happier that way. I think sometimes the changes they make are all right, though, as far as a larger audience. And then if the larger audience likes that story, they can come back to the store and read the stories that inspired it.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Now, what are some of the products that sell the most at Brave New Worlds? I mean, what labels really move?
The big crossovers from the large companies work really well. Like Blackest Night just finished at DC. That sold incredibly well, including the crossovers. Marvel still has Siege, so all the Siege stuff is going on right now. I mean, most of the characters that you would ask a kid off the street and they would know who they were, those are going to be your bestsellers. Your Batman, your Spider-Man, your X-Men, your Justice League. Yeah.
I asked Eric what his top five favorite comics are.
My number one would be Lone Wolf and Cub, which is Japanese. It's manga. You know, it's like a 28-volume series. It's a samurai who gets basically framed for disrespecting the emperor, so he becomes an assassin after his wife was killed to gather enough gold, because every assassination he gets gold from. And because the government is so corrupt, you have to pay them to start an investigation, basically. But it's set in like samurai era of Japan, and it gives you like snapshots of what it would be like to live in that era.
Right.
And it shows you sort of like a lost age of nobility, you know, before guns and everything, and every fight was to the death with this weapon that would maim you, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the thing about Japanese culture. It went from being a feudal society to being an industrial society within like 100 years. It happened very quickly.
Once the ships started coming in with the guns, you know, everything changed.
Yeah. So Lone Wolf and Cub.
Lone Wolf and Cub would be my number one. Alan Moore's Miracle Man is one of my personal favorites in my collection, of course. Those are the two, like, right away that I would say.
Would
definitely
know.
Those are those. Mm-hmm. Silver Surfer was always a fan of mine when I was younger, but he had the whole philosophy kind of thing going for him. You know, he was the hippie of the comics then, you know.
Right.
Always trying to understand, why do people want to hurt me? I want to be friends with you. I want to understand you, you know, that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, I mean, you look at some of the stuff that came out of, like, the 60s and 70s, like Doctor Strange and Silver Surfer. They're very much a product of their time.
Sure, sure. Well, of course, everyone's Secret Origin had radioactivity involved in it back then, too, you know. So there was that fear of a nuclear annihilation.
Yeah, the Doomsday Clock and all that, which, of course, we see all over Watchmen.
Sure.
So we've got Lone Wolf and Cub, Miracle Man,
Silver Surfer would definitely be a third. As far as a fourth and a fifth, I mean, it's getting a little more difficult to choose there. I would say, out of my current things, I would probably still say Walking Dead would be number four.
One more?
What would be my fifth? That is a very difficult one.
It could be a graphic novel. It could be just a title.
Let's see. I would say, well, I don't want to do Alan Moore again, because Swamp Thing would definitely be up there. But I'm trying to, you know, we keep it varied. Let's say, Maybe some of the Brubaker Captain America. I just want to say that everyone is welcome. If you have any particular interest, come in and let us know. We'll try to point you to a book that you'd like, of course. And, you know, always ask questions. Never be afraid.
Eric, thanks a lot for your time.
All right, good deal.
Eric works at Brave New Worlds, which you can find on the web at www.bravenewworldscomics.com. They also have a location in Willow Grove and in Old City. And now, my top five favorite comics of all time. My number five is The Dark Knight Returns by Frank Miller, which redefined the comic medium. My number four would be Hush by Jeff Loeb. Hush still ranks among the best Batman stories ever. My number three is a rollicking Victorian adventure yarn in which Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, Dorian Gray, Captain Nemo, Alan Quatermain, and many others fight for queen and country in this clever literary ology known as the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Volumes 1 and 2, and the Black Dossier. Watchmen isn't number one, although it could be, because I think Alan Moore topped himself with what could probably be the most exhaustively researched and meticulously reconstructed telling of the Jack the Ripper story ever. It's a holistic police procedural, an autopsy of money and power. Alan Moore and Eddie Campbell accomplished something with the medium that is, in my opinion, peerless. The Dark Knight Returns, Hush, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Watchmen, and From Hell are my top five favorite comic books of all time. Thank you for listening to Pods of Speech, a weekly internet radio show. I'm your producer and editor, Dan McLaughlin. Special thanks to Anthony Casaldi from Comics and More, and Eric Loyak from Brave New Worlds. Stay tuned for next week's episode, Philadelphia Theater.